This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. The search for talent is the game right now. Career opportunities are growing rapidly in healthcare, transportation, engineering, and information technology. And many good-paying jobs with viable career ladders don't require a four-year college degree. To better match companies, students trying to decide the right next step, and job seekers, Ohio has declared May 7th through the 11th In-Demand Jobs Week. We are joined today by four people with insight into career training and education opportunities. The Dean of Student Services at Great Oaks Career Campuses is Nancy Mulvey. The President and CEO of the Southwest Ohio Workforce Investment Board is Sherry Kelly Marshall. The Director of Workforce Development Center at the Cincinnati Technical and Community College is Cheryl Brackman. And the Manager of Learning Services with CET Connect is Jason Dennison. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Welcome, everybody. Glad you're here this week. And all of you I know are enmeshed in this this whole in-demand jobs week. This is a big thing that all of you have worked on to put together. So, Sherry, let's start with you. The obvious question is, what are the most in-demand jobs right now in the Cincinnati metro region?
Well, first we think of them as industries. Manufacturing, oddly enough, construction. I'll go into that in a second. Information technology, transportation, distribution, and logistics, which is a singular industry sector, and healthcare. Those are the largest ones pretty much in the whole 15 counties. Actually, the three states all have very similar in-demand fields. Inside each of those fields, there's everything from a dozen to eight dozen different occupations. The entry-level positions in most of those fields are generally a $15 to $20 an hour position. After being there for a year or two, you could be up to $25 or $30 an hour. There are some that are good in-demand occupations, but they're not quite at that pay range, but they get to that pay range after a year or so of experience. So you're talking about a state-tested nurse, a licensed practical nurse, the people who clean our teeth. I can't think of their name right now.
Hygienist,
the dental hygienist. In manufacturing, anybody who knows anything about using their hands with math and with technical tools and instruments. Construction the same way. IT, you're more likely to be in the higher income group if you do a code camp for 14 weeks, and we've paid for many of those as a workforce board, particularly for dislocated workers who wanted to change fields. They can make $45,000 to $60,000 after 14 weeks of learning one program language, .NET, JavaScript, HTML, it all depends. If they're really good, they probably also do music because really coding is another language that gets used with machines instead of used talking to each of us. Although I see enough letters anymore, every time I mess up on my website, I'm beginning to say, oh, there's that thing that they call PHP. And then truck driving is still big. Even when we move to artificial intelligence drivers and build convoys of 10, there'll still be a human driver at the front of the convoy and a human driver at the back of the convoy. The drivers will have to have technological skills.
Are we talking about 10, 18-wheelers in a row?
I am.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Okay. Pardon me, but
that's
oh,
okay.
Gosh.
They're doing almost eight in some European experiments right now. So we've got bigger highways than most of the rest of the planet does. We'll have bigger convoys.
Well,
but we encourage the younger people who think about wanting to be a truck driver to also go into some kind of technology competence, to not forget that learning your phone completely, learning your computer completely is probably the skill that will be needed. If you love to drive, you want to be the first and 10th driver.
Nancy Mulvey, you're at Great Oaks. So let's talk about some of these jobs and or some of the categories that don't require a four-year college degree that you see as particularly viable in our area. And what is it that is possible through Great Oaks, that you see that there's a real interest and you're having success in placing people after they finish?
Well, we have all kinds of opportunities for the different types of career pathways. So there isn't just one or two. There's so many different types of career pathways that high school students and adults can take advantage of. Right now is prime time for our high school students. So when you're a sophomore in high school, now's the time to make the decision to get career training. And right, this is the time to start the scheduling for their junior year. In addition to that, our adult education has right now sessions to start in the fall. And those are the automotive, the transportation industry, from auto mechanics to auto body work, to the aviation mechanics, to diesel mechanics. Our industrial diesel mechanics, we cannot find enough people to fill the job need right now. So our students are getting, I would say, probably 10 different options for each one student that completes the program.
So what's the nature of the course that's necessary for a person to complete in order to be in that sort of competitive position?
So if you're a high school student, you would attend one of our career campuses, and those are Diamond, Live, Scarlet, and Laurel Oaks, and you would come for your last 2 years of high school. So the career pathways that Sherry talked about, the construction, the automotive, the healthcare.
So you could be ready graduating from high school to be a diesel mechanic?
And by a senior year in high school, most of those students even have jobs their junior year, the summer between their junior and senior year. There is such a demand for skilled workforce that we're getting our students great career opportunities while they're still in high school. And then when they after they graduate, they can just keep going on and on. For the adult education, it's a 9-month program. So as an adult, you can get the same training in 9 months, or as a high school student, it's in 2 years.
Okay. And Cheryl Brackman with the Workforce Development Center at Cincinnati Tech, when one of the areas that is really sort of in is the whole information technology, the IT area. Cincinnati Business Courier just did a special issue insert this week on IT, big disconnect between demand and supply. What is a place like Cincinnati Tech able to provide in this area of the IT, of IT?
I would say we offer anything from short-term training to long-term training, meaning it can lead to an associate's degree. But we also have the ability to have short classes like Cisco, for example.
Which would be a programming language, right?
Exactly, exactly. And they could be offered like within a 15-week period where you can end up with that certification. And all of, again, like these both of my colleagues are saying, it's huge in demand. And so the other thing that Cincinnati State offers is the ability for college credit. So if I take one of these things and I find I can do short-term training, it gets me an in-demand job that pays really well, I really like it, I can then have the ability to be able to move on and get a certification, an associate's, a bachelor's, et cetera. So I'd say it can be multi-tiered, which I think is very valuable. The other thing I'd like to add, that there is such a demand from all of the employers on soft skills. So I think in all of our programs, they are embedding the soft skills.
And what do you mean by soft skills?
Critical thinking, problem solving, and the simple things, getting to work on time, time management, stress management, et cetera. We all have a several technical advisory committees and boards that drive us. And the employers say over and over again, we need, whether it's the skills in IT, as you've asked about, or manufacturing or whatever, they all say embed the soft skills. And so I think all of us are doing a big job of that.
Which I have sometimes heard referred to as the harder skills.
Absolutely.
Because mastering those is
difficult. This isn't necessarily a soft skill. I don't know if it's a hard skill, but like today we started PMP, project management training, that'll be done in a very quick time. And so there's all kinds of studies that show if I get that certification, how it increases my the rate of pay I can make in some industries. So we Cincinnati State, are trying to meet that demand.
So Jason, you're with CET Connect. How does CET Connect fit into this? As I understand, you've been involved with a program called American Graduate, now American Graduate 2018. What is that, and how does CET fit into this larger sphere of influence here?
Sure. So American Graduate Getting to Work, which is the latest name for this initiative that's sponsored by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and supported with local dollars as well. The focus of this is really to help connect young people with resources like Great Oaks, like Ohio Means Jobs, like Cincinnati State, to help them find success, whether that's educational or eventually leading to a successful career. And so for the next 2 years, CET is working with these three organizations and many more to really highlight programs that work, programs, and many of them are things that a lot of us don't think of. I know that we've talked that programs like Great Oaks, when I went through school, were not seen in a particularly positive light. But having visited there, I wish I had gone. Maybe I'd be making a lot more than I am in a nonprofit right now if I had one of those jobs. But our work is to highlight those programs that work, to help make those connections.
And are you highlighting these through your online presence or your on-air presence? How is this delivered, or how is CET, which is a broadcast public television operation, how you fitting in with this?
Sure, I'd say it's probably all of the above. What we're trying to use is our on-air presence. We do have a website with links, for example, for In-Demand Jobs Week. We have a link up, page up that directs people to events that are going on in the area this week and beyond. And then a big part of it is convening partners. Now, many of them meet together and on these technical advisory boards and other places, but coming together to help with that messaging. How do we get the word out about these careers? How do we get finding the audience? So our audience is not just people who are looking to re-enter the workforce. We're looking at middle school and high school students. We're looking at their parents, which we found is going to be a really important way to get kids to even think about.
Which gets back to your point about how this sort of career education is thought about. If
absolutely.
Parents aren't supportive, then it's difficult for the students, for a 17-year-old or a younger 14-year-old to make the decision.
Right. A factory job today is not what a factory job was 20 years ago. A lot of workers have to go through clean rooms to go into a factory. So it's much different, and changing those perceptions, I think, is going to be a critical part of success moving forward.
I'd like to ask a question. We talk a lot about how not these good jobs, it isn't necessary to have a four-year college degree. What's the state of the old style apprentice systems in the trades? What are the various unions doing? What are the various organizations doing with apprenticeship programs in the trades? Do those still exist?
They still exist, and they're growing quickly.
They're growing quickly.
Yes. Our workforce board has the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers represented on it, and we've been working with them for the last 5 years to take a look at their math expectations, to take a look at when they have a five-year apprenticeship program before a person's journeyed. Journeyed is the equivalent of a degree in a college system. It's federally recognized instead of city by city, state by state, college by college. We worked with them to really find out, do you need to hire math in the first or the second year of your apprenticeship? And it took a long time, but they finally agreed to take a look at it. This year is the first year in 10 years that they recruited a large number of candidates again. I think it's two reasons. They realized that the math wasn't really needed until the second year, so why expect somebody to do algebra and trig the first year if you can teach them that in the course of doing the work and then test them the second year? And there is a shift that's occurring, and the shift is occurring because college costs too much for even middle-income people anymore. We're getting a lot more interest in apprenticeships. We are currently, as a board, underwriting the cost of 100 new manufacturing apprentices in 7 companies in the region.
Is there a real shortage of people in these trades?
There is a shortage. And with Great Oaks programs, our students are joining the apprenticeship program while they're still in high school and getting credit for their apprenticeship, which takes can be up to a year or two off an apprenticeship program with successful completion of our programs. So why even wait until you're out in the workforce when you can still do it while you're still in high school and get – it's like getting that second college degree through the apprenticeship through. And the big ones for us are really through our construction programs, our commercial residential electricity, and with our construction technology programs. Those are the most active, but we also include our manufacturing and our welding program. Some companies don't have a registered apprentice-type program, but they have their own developed apprenticeship-type program that they'll take our students and, after successful completion, advance them further with their trainings.
Cheryl Brackman with Cincinnati Technical and State College. We've mentioned several times about the change in manufacturing. Modern manufacturing is not what people think it is. Very highly technical, math-based, clean, all of that. How has that changed the kind of programming that you do at Cincinnati State?
Two things. I feel like we have figured out how to be very nimble in response to it and going in and seeing things like was mentioned, the clean room, to make sure that people understand that piece. The other thing I believe is what we have all done is created the speed to street concept, meaning you can learn the skills quickly. So when you're working in concert with the employer, you can assure him or her that you're going to have a well-trained person to get into the workplace. So I think it's going in, observing, looking, hearing, and changing to be what we need to be today, but also to lead to where we need to be for the future.
What we've talked, several of you have raised the point, I think, Jason, you were raising it before, about the attitude of parents and their influence on high school age students and their choices. How do we change that? Is that something that any of you are systematically trying to do? It sounds like they may need the tour through the modern factor.
I think also it's really important to get to the moms.
Thank you.
I would never underestimate the power of the mom. And so somehow if we all can come together and get to the mom and figure out that, you know, manufacturing is, for lack of a better word, manufacturing, healthcare, IT, is those are pretty sexy and profitable things. I think we could shift how we think about things.
There's actually some research that was done by TechSolve, and it was clear in the research three different times that it was done, the mother most influences whether or not a young person who isn't auto set for college will consider the in-demand jobs, or they'll be pressed to go to college as a sign of better assimilation, a sign of better progress. When in truth, there are a lot more people with four-year degrees who aren't making what the guys who are fixing my pipe out in front of my house right now are making for doing that kind of work.
Nancy Mulvey with Great Oaks, what kind of technology are you using in your programs?
Well, this week we're highlighting the in-demand career pathways, and we're trying something brand new that I'm really excited about. We are providing Skype presentations for the different pathways to learn the trainings that can be connected to these types of jobs. So each day this week, we're doing a live Skype session. If you're not able to watch the Skype session, we'll have those later on our website where they can view those videos. But we want to have and use technology to help give the audience a way to see the career opportunities and its awareness. And I got to thank you and CET for having these types of programs on to help educate the public on these different types of career paths, because like my colleagues over here had said, there's so many different career pathways and you just need to come experience them. Moms need to come visit them, and you can see how these can be just a viable option for their children.
You know, I certainly have seen that in my years with Leadership Cincinnati, getting people who are suits, who are professionally trained and in management, men or women, out into modern factories was one of the things that we tried to do. And it's eye-opening for everybody. I mean, it really is. We have a caller who has called in and has a question. And Mary, I understand you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. Earlier, I think I heard that there's a program. It's a 14-week program for IT training. Did I hear that correctly?
You did. Yes. Would you like...
Okay, and where is that? It's in SciTech, or...?
There are actually several. We have a company that's called Tech Hire.
Okay, I'm just going to write this down. Thank you.
That's okay.
It's not for me. It's for a family relative. Okay, Tech
Hire. Tech Hire. The company is at the Hamilton County Development Corporation's offices. They call themselves Tech Elevator, but it's part of our Workforce Board Tech Hire activity. They do several languages in 14-week increments. Max Technical, which is in Mason, Ohio, also does several different languages in 14-week boot camps, they're called. If you just look up boot camps in Cincinnati on the website, you will find both of those options.
Probably IT boot camp, right?
No, just boot camp.
Just boot camp. Okay.
The Army will be below the technical ones on the stream up.
Okay. Thank you, Mary, for calling. And we also have a call from Chuck, who has a question as well. And Chuck, what's your question?
Yeah, like I was telling your phone person, I'm in my early 50s, and I'd actually like to get into the tech sector of sector, IT. And I, like I said before, I'm in my early 50s. I've heard that tech companies are notoriously, they don't like middle-aged people. They will not hire them. So am I just spinning my wheels, or should I actually think seriously about getting into this? And I've heard of something called Tech Elevator around town.
Yes.
Is that something that would be able to help me out?
I probably could talk you through that more separately, but I don't know about, should I give her my phone number or should I?
Sure, why not? This is Sherry Kelly Marshall who's talking, giving you her phone number. Go ahead.
My office number is 612-3643, but I do want to give you 2 points. If you're good with language, foreign language, music as a language, sports as a language, and you want to do this, then yes, you can still get a job. We had several dislocated workers, people in their 40s and 50s, who were laid off from companies in the last year, who started their new job with a particular language, making $55,000 to $60,000 to start because the workers knew, the companies knew that they weren't the same kind of workers as the new millennial workers would be. So they gave them an edge up on that. But yes, you can find a job. And yes, any place in the workforce, you're going to hear that some employers are discriminating age-wise, some are discriminating language-wise. It's the world we live in, but you can't let it stop you from what you want to do.
I'd also like to add that I've also heard the discrimination, unfortunately, against the millennials. And so this might be a time for you to really take the opportunity to use your experience and what you're bringing to the workplace. I think that's very attractive to a lot of employers to piggyback on what Sherry has said.
Here's one of the questions I've got. To what extent are we, all these various training programs that exist, to what extent are they training people for the jobs that exist now versus the jobs that may exist down the road? We all know that a lot of the jobs that exist today didn't even exist a decade ago or certainly 15 years ago. So how do you keep up with this?
I can address that real quickly. One of the things Cincinnati State has done is, for example, we have invested in things like 3D printers and mechatronics and robotic arms. And so looking forward and, again, hearing what the employers are saying, this is what we're going to need over the next 5 years. So those are some of the things that we have done to try to meet the future demand.
Anybody else want to chime in?
At Great Oaks and at all other career centers, is each one of our career pathways has a business advisory group that meets regularly to help advise our different career programs. And we listen to our business partners. We hear what their needs are, where their future is, what equipment, materials, where they think we need to be, and then we address those needs too.
Okay. I know that there's a number of things online this week with – this in-demand jobs week. But Jason, there's also a job expo this week, right? Or whoever wants to answer this, a job expo on Thursday is my understanding, right?
There is. Mm-hmm. And it is at the Sharonville Convention Center, brought on to you by the Sharonville Chamber of Commerce. And it's from 2 to 7. And they're inviting all types of industry to partner with them and provide job opportunities. So please come to the
And my understanding, there will be an opportunity, there'll be opportunities for people to sort of test out their resume and get suggestions about how to make it the most effective resume, interviewing skills, how to dress. And one of the things that I saw mentioned was how to make sure your social media presence doesn't get in the way of your job interview. And we all know what that's about. Or if we don't, then you should. So I want to thank everybody who has joined us today to talk about In-Demand Jobs Week. And good luck with this, and good luck with all of your work that I know that all of you are doing. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.